Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
22 years ago, the Lord gave Pastor Karen and I a bouncing baby boy. And what a joy he has been to raise. It's my son, Minister Daniel, who's going to come and share a few words with us. And he was 4 years old when we moved to Alaska. Because of his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, I really believe this. Because of his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, we got this property back. That's how that happened. And it's interesting how that happened. We wouldn't have known. And contractors would have come with their checks, you know, the following day kind of thing. I had a contractor tell me, what? And he cursed. And he said, how come the church got this bleep place? I had to come with my $1 million bleep check. I can't believe you got this place. I said, well, he said, yeah, it's probably because it's God. I said, exactly. He said, well, whatever. I know all those bankers, he said. Why didn't they call me? What the heck? He was upset. The church made $3 million in one day from a 10-year-old. 11 years old, 3 months and 4 days. And Daniel, Minister Daniel, you have been just, you've been a joy to raise. You had a little bit of rebellion here and there, like foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but you sure got rid of it quick. And you have been a great joy to father and to be your parent. And not only that, God called him into the ministry. You know, we didn't make you, right? Amen. We didn't make him. We didn't make him go into the ministry. He told me he was eight. I was there. He was eight. He was 8 years old, and he said this. He said, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm like, oh, yeah? How come? He says, because God called you. And maybe you can share some of that as the Lord leads you. You don't have to, however the Lord leads you. But come on, your son. This is my son, Daniel Andrew Bracken, Jr. Came on staff 3 years ago. Is it 3 years? Going on 4 years, and has done all kinds of stuff in the church, and just deeply love and appreciate you, and I respect you. You've become a fine man, and he's heading off to Maui to take over their senior high ministry there, and we're all going to miss you. Would you put your hands together one more time for Daniel Jr.?
Minister Toby, if you'd stay. Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? Praise God. You know, it's an amazing season, and I think in our church, but also in my life. And also, as you guys know, I'm going to be making this transition here soon. Tomorrow afternoon at 4:04 p.m., I will be jumping on a plane to relocate myself to the island of Maui. And I'm just so excited for what God is doing. He's doing great things. You know, Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen have the wonderful ability and job to be my pastors, my employers, but also my parents. And they've been amazing parents. They've raised me up in the way that we should. The constant thing that goes through my brain is they always push scripture memory upon me and made me memorize scriptures and identity scriptures. So when the time came for me to grow up and go through adult things and to go through challenges, the word of God was in my heart. And sometimes it was a thing where they'd make me do it, but then there was other times where people would put, or God would put people in my life like Pastor Kirsten and all the Davis family and many others that would just constantly take me through teachings about with Passport. We have coming up in the summer talking, it's like an internship where they teach you ministry and God's word. They tell me I need to memorize scriptures, and it stuck with me forever. And now, because of great leaders, because of great pastors, and because of, honestly, all the leaders here, I have the amazing ability to run forward to what God has called me to do. And I'm so thankful for all of you leaders, all of you pastors, all the staff members that have had a major role in my life. Thank you guys. Can we just put our hands together for all the staff and all the pastors here? Praise God. And I'm gonna take you through a super short passage of scripture, Joshua 1 verse 9. And you can turn there if you'd like. This is the transition of Moses, the leadership in Moses to Joshua, and it's a passage in the scripture in the Bible that has changed my life. It's a word for our youth ministry. In the summer, I preached a message called "Take the Land," and it marked our youth ministry about how our youth ministry is supposed to go out into the schools, go out to the valley, go out into Wasilla, even into the world to take the land. And so let's just go ahead and turn there just for a moment. Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses's aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to go across the Jordan River to the land I'm going to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. And then he begins to tell him where his territory will expand, picking up at verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you all your days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. This is a promise from God. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. It says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people and to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and courageous. Be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws of I gave my servant Moses. Do not turn from it, nor to the right, nor to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it daily, day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything it is written. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. Let's just pray for a moment. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this moment of time that is marking us. God, I thank you that you're speaking to us, that your presence is in this place. I pray, God, that you touch hearts, that your spirit would be in this place. God, minister to us. I pray that those who have a hardened heart towards maybe the word of God or new things, God, I pray that you change their hearts. God, speak to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Minister Toby, we're good. We can call you back up. I don't know, Pastor. I'll be up here just a couple minutes. But Joshua 1:9 is a powerful scripture that has marked my life, but also our youth ministry, like I talked about. And when I preached this message in King's Youth, we talked about the history of King's Youth. I've been in ministry for about almost 4 years now, and it's been a ride. It's been a roller coaster. We've had ups, we've had downs, we've had people leave teams, people join teams, people say we're moving to Maui, people say we're coming on the team, and it has been amazing. But it's also been amazing to see all of your students, your actual kids that have been raised up in our youth ministry. And I believe God is doing something so powerful in our youth ministry. And something awesome, like I said, God has taken our youth ministry, I think about from last year, two years ago, we moved into the lobby to have youth in the lobby in a pipe and drape. It was a wonderful moment, but we could not have altar times. There was complaints about the sound being too loud, and it was a moment. It was a season. We called it the tabernacle. It was great. Lord met us there. And in the season of the tabernacle, God gave me a word for our youth ministry and a word for myself. He said, son, as long as you continue to preach the gift, preach what's in the word of God, to preach the gospel and flow in the spirit, I will give you every single thing you need for our ministry. So that's what we begin to do. We begin to flow. We begin to preach the gospel. Games are great and all that, but I believe that this generation is wanting something real, something that's not counterfeit, something that they can rely on, and that's the word of God that we're teaching, preaching that Jesus is the only way to life. He's the truth. And so in that moment, it really changed and shifted our youth ministry to growing, and we got to move up to the upstairs, and God's doing great stuff up there. And we've grown, I think, in the last 2 years over, help me out, Auntie Ulu. We went from averaging about 50 students to about 120 to 150 students in about a year. God has taken our youth ministry and doubled it. And I'm so excited to see what is to come in this new season with our teams. And I believe God's going to do some great things in this time. And I believe that as he's done great things in the past, he will do it in today. How many guys believe that? Come on, I believe just as in Acts, there's 5 major outpourings in the book of Acts. There was the day of Pentecost. There was the outpouring in Samaria. There was Saul's conversion. And then Cornelius' household, the Acts 10, and the Ephesus, the outpouring of Ephesus. These are the major outpourings of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And what I believe God is going to do is just as he marked the church, just as he marked the book of Acts with those five outpourings, he's going to do the same thing with us. But I believe God is shifting us into a new season of picking up the mantle of revival. And just like there was transitions, you know, we're in a season of transition as a church. I believe that spiritually, but also as staff members and as leaders, this is a season where we're called to increase in what? Come on, increase in? And seek to double. That's how we're going to see the 12-120 hit. But just as we're in a time of transition with our youth ministry, we're in a time of transition with our church. But if we look at different transitions in the Bible, you see Eli to Samuel, where God calls young leaders to restore his people. You see another transition of Elijah to Elisha in 2 Kings, where a double portion is for the next generation. You see Jesus to the disciples equipping them in a time of transition, passing the mission with the power of the Holy Spirit. And just like in Joshua, he was in a season of transition. And I'm going to give you a couple points just from this text of Joshua 1 about stepping into a new season. Joshua picked up the mantle, picked up the thing from Moses, and took the Israelites into a new season. I believe that that's what God wants to do here tonight. So how do we step into the new season? Number one, we must be faithful. Something so fascinating about Joshua is that Joshua was a man that was faithful. He was a man that was faithful with Moses, but before that, he was held in slavery in Egypt. And then after that, he was a part of the 40 years of wandering through the wilderness. And it was a crazy time. I can imagine Joshua complaining or maybe being like, God, I don't know why I'm here, but I believe in you and I trust you. Come on, we need to be like Joshua. Somebody say amen. He was somebody that was faithful even to the hard times, but also faithful in battles, in the wilderness, and in Egypt underneath slavery. But he was faithful to his leader, Moses. And he was also faithful with the little things. And I believe, and as it says in Luke 16:10, he was faithful with the small things, and he was elevated to lead great things. He went through a time of preparation. So we must be faithful. Just as Joshua was faithful to step in the new season, we must be faithful. Number two, I believe in stepping into a new season, we have to, number two, prioritize the presence of God. God has called me, and this is recently, this is something the Lord's told me. He told me, son, I want you, I've called you to be a man after my own heart. And I said, great, I'm here for it, let's go. And he said, in that, I need you to spend as much time with me that you can, because in my presence, in the anointing, when you're spending time with me there, you will get all of your breakthrough. And I was like, come on. And what the devil has being personal here at King's Youth in Alaska, we say this thing. We say we're a hot youth ministry. Can we go there, youth? Where are we at? Where's the youth at? Come on, we're going to say that we're a hot youth ministry. We're humble, open, and transparent youth ministry. And let me get transparently fast. The devil tried to seriously take away the quiet time that I'd spend with the Lord. How I'd maybe go to work and I'd go to the office and I'd start working, sermon prepping. All that's great. Listen, for all those preachers and teachers and people who want to grow, the time studying God's word for your message is great, but you need another time where you can personally get anointed outside of that. And what the devil began to do is he began to attack my quiet time, just fill my schedule and make me think that my schedule was so busy and realistically, I just needed a checkup with my time management. Somebody say amen. Amen. And we need to do that in our own lives. And the Lord was like, son, the devil's trying to mess you up. And I said, oh, I got to get it. I got to get it. So I started working on spending more time and being more intentional with my quiet time with God. And God has seriously spoken to me through this next season up through Power Conference. And it's been so powerful. But just as Joshua was a man of his presence, we must be people that prioritize their presence. Joshua stayed in God's presence. And you see that in Exodus 33:7-11. And every 7 through 11, it says when it talks about how Moses, when he entered into the presence of God there and he came out, there Joshua was. He didn't walk away. Others in the Israelite camp feared the presence of God and feared things that would happen, but Joshua was a man that contended and stayed in the presence of God. We must prioritize the presence of God. We must have a hunger. I talked about having a hunger for the presence of God on Wednesday. We must have a hunger to be with the Lord. We must have a hunger to be in his presence. Do you long to be in his presence? How many of you guys know about the carnivore diet? Raise your hands. Carnivore diet is great. I was talking to Auntie Ulu and we were preaching. Carnivore diet's wonderful. But I was preaching and the God put on my heart about being dedicated, because over the last I don't know, maybe almost a year we've been on this carnivore diet, and it's great, and I love it, but it's something I've had to be dedicated to. Some of us in this room have a problem with dedication. We'll dedicate ourselves to a diet, to maybe a gym routine, to maybe skincare routine. That's a real thing, because in this generation, we got to have good skin. You can't get a shiny head like Pastor Daniel without moisturizing, guys, all right? But you have to be dedicated to certain things in your life to grow. But many times in our life, we find ourselves not dedicated to the things of the presence of God because we don't prioritize the presence of God. And when we don't prioritize the presence of God, we have a thing that is called distance. Everyone say distance. We get distance from the presence of God. We get away from the presence of God. And I believe it's in Mark, or it's in one of the synoptic gospels, where the disciples go out on a boat and Jesus starts walking to them, and they're in a storm, and the disciples are freaking out. And what happens? The disciples are like, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. Everyone say a ghost. It's a ghost. But what they didn't know is that it was Jesus, right? It was Jesus. We know this. We're reading this in the Bible, and you know it's a ghost. But the disciples said it was a ghost, and this is why. Because distance from God creates distortion. When you're not spending time with God, we're not prioritizing his presence, you're going to start seeing God for a God that's powerless, seeing God for a God who can't work miracles, a God who can't break through in your life in provision, or a God who can't save your family. We must be people that prioritize the presence of God, and we must hunger for him. Going back to the top of our points is, number one, Joshua is faithful. Number two, we must prioritize the presence of God. Keys to stepping into the season of God. The season that God has for us, we must be faithful. We must prioritize the presence of God. Number three, we must cling to the promises of God. This is the promise that God has given Joshua. It says, I will always be with you, and I will not forsaken you. Somebody say amen. He will not forsake us. And that's a promise to Joshua, but that's a promise to us today. Pastor Daniel says the promises of God are the basis by which we pray. Come on, everybody say pray. The basis by which we pray. Pastor Daniel also preached a message about in November about the promises of God, about how when we take hold of the promises of God and begin to pray them and begin to fast on them and believe and cast doubt out, something really cool happens. See, personally, I'm a motorhead. I love motors. You know, I don't know everything about it, but on cars and on dirt bikes and wheelers and stuff like that, there's a thing called a starter. What a starter does is it cranks the engine so it turns over, right? And so when we take the promises of God in our hand and we begin to pray them over our situations, it is like a starter. It goes wing, 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 ding, 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 ding. And what happens is when you pray the promises of God, when you're doubting, when you're broken, God comes through for you in that moment, and our prayers are powerful. Somebody say amen. So we must cling to the promises of God. God has been speaking to me that this is going to be a season of increase for me, but sometimes it's hard to see it. Somebody say amen. It's hard to see it sometimes when you're in a season, and maybe you're in a financially hard season, but we don't realize the promises of God in the Bible. It says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What do shepherds do? Shepherds care for their flock. Do we trust God as a shepherd? Do we know him as a shepherd? Come on, those are promises that we can contend with. So just as Joshua was to lead the people through battles and through across the Jordan, he had a promise that he clung to, that I will be with you and I will never forsake you. Come on, let's just say that. I will be with you. Say it. And that's the same promise that God has given to us today, and we must not forsake his word. So we must cling to the promises of God. And the fourth thing that Joshua did is he obeyed the word of God. And that's something that God's called us to do as a youth ministry, but personally, Joshua obeyed the word of God. It says in Joshua 1:8, meditate on God's word day and night for success. This is what he says. God speaks to Joshua and says, meditate on my word, because the word of God has power. Somebody say amen. Meditate on the word of God. And we must obey the word of God. When God speaks, we have to listen. See, in this time for me personally, it was a moment where I got a prophetic word many years ago, about 3 years ago, where this person was like, I see you moving to Maui. I was like, no. I was like, absolutely not. And what began to happen, time went on, and I was just like, nope, not happening. Not happening. And then we had a conversation about a year ago with Pastor Josh and Pastor Daniel, and Pastor Josh said, well,
I think it's time. I think you should transition and move to Maui. You feel God moving you here. And I said, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's what I said in my brain. And I said, you know, we'll pray about it. We'll pray about it is the Christian term of no, we're not doing that. So if you ever in a relationship in a moment and someone's like, you want to go get coffee with me? And they're like, I'll pray about it. No, no, they're not. They're not going to get coffee with you. They're not going to get coffee with you. But as I've been in this season of obeying the word of God, God spoke to me, spoke to my leaders. But if I didn't take that moment and step of faith to obey the word of God, I would not be walking in what God has for me. And that is the scariest thing of my life. When God takes his hands off, he's like, you want to do your own thing? You can do it. That is not, life is not a highway when you're riding on that one. That's not the highway you want to ride on. Come on, I believe that God has his hands on every single one of you today if you are obeying the word that he's given you. Amen? Come on, so just like Joshua, we must obey the word that he's given us. Going back through our points, keys to stepping into the new season. Number one, be faithful. Number two, prioritize the presence of God. Number three, cling to God's promises. Number four, obey the word of God, and victory comes through obedience. Come on, somebody say amen. And I believe that this is a call of action to all of us in this room. As we go into a season of transition, like I said, it's not just a season of our youth ministry, but it's a season as a church. I believe that the Lord's spoken to me that this is a moment where things are shifting, where as an athlete would go, as an athlete would transition into an off season, they'd have to do training. If they didn't do any training, when they go into the next season, they would fail or they wouldn't do as well as they did in the last season. I believe that this season as a church, as leaders, we just had our commission leaders tonight. Leaders, where you at? Yeah, we just had our commission leaders tonight, meeting tonight, but I believe that this is a moment of preparation before the elevation, that this is a moment before it's the building up before the release of what God has for us. I truly believe that as we're in this moment of transition, but we have to do these things. We must step into the new season. A lot of us see, going back to the thing with Joshua being faithful, he could have murmured, he could have complained about what God has for him and what his current situation is. Man, I'm just leading a life group with two people in it. Why can't I grow? When's the last time you did your follow-up calls? Like, let's be real. Are you being faithful with the little things? God is calling us to be faithful with every single area. Something interesting, and this just popped in my head, this is for somebody. God's not gonna reward you with blessings and money if you're not being a good steward of your own money. We must be faithful and good stewards with our own money and the things that God's given us. We got to be faithful with the little things. We must prioritize God's presence and stepping in this new season. We must cling to the word of God when it's scary, when things look like they're crashing, when you have no money in your bank account. Cling to the promises of God that says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches. We must obey the word of God. When God speaks, you want to obey. And I believe God is speaking to us tonight that we need to step into this new season. As a church, I'm challenging you to do these things, to be faithful, to prioritize the presence of God, to cling to the promises of God and obey the word of God. He's called us to grow and he's called us to multiply. And I believe today is the season, that this is the season of our church. So let's be faithful. Let's seek God's presence. Let's stand on his promises and obey his word. But I believe we also must step boldly into what God has for us. Sometimes it's scary, sometimes it's maybe nerve-wracking, but that step of faith is so important. We must step out into the new season of what God has for us. Minister Toby, if you'd come just for a moment. And I want to prophesy over our youth ministry, but also our youth team. You know, it's been an amazing 3 years going with all these leaders. I've served with some of my friends that have been high school. I've served with people who moved here from Maui. Shout out to Auntie Ulu and Kavai and many other people. Yeah, I want you guys to come up here. If I can have my core team come up here. And I just want to prophesy just for a little bit. Would you put your hands together for these? These people labor hard to see this generation impacted. And I'm just so excited for what God is going to do in this place. But one of the words that, you know, if I can pause on that, actually, a word that came to my mind, Pastor Daniel, as I was driving here is during Birth David King, and I think it was like 2015,
It was a long time ago. It was in the Lucille building, like the first time we did it with Pastor Alex, long time ago. And God, in that moment, told me gave me a prophetic word, and I had a vision of him handing me the keys of the building. And I was like, it might have been 7 years ago, it might have been something, but I visibly had a vision of God handing us the keys to the new building 8 years ago. And God brought back this memory. You have keys? God brought back this memory of, it was like the hand of God just coming out and being like this, just take it. And I believe that God in this time of transition has given us all the keys that we need, and it's time to run. I believe that that's a word from God. As he gave me that word in 8 years ago, when I got that prophetic word and that vision from God, it said, he's given you the keys. We have the keys to every single thing we need. The people that we need to further the kingdom under the church, the resources that we need to further the kingdom are right here. We have the keys. But just as a car needs a key to drive, it needs a transmission, we have to do the work. We have to start that car. And I believe that this season, as people depart and situations and seasons change, that this is a season where it is time to start that Ferrari, and it's time to go hit Hatcher's Pass and hit all those turns and go crazy, because I believe that God is going to do something mighty tonight and even in this season. Now, the youth ministry, why don't you reach your hands out towards these guys. Father God, we thank you for this youth ministry. We thank you, God, for this youth team, of everything that you're doing. I thank you, God, that this is a new season, God, of elevation. I thank you, Jesus, that you're working miracles, God, even in our own life, that your presence is in this place. The Lord gave me this word when I was originally preparing this message on February 5th, and he spoke to me. He said, son, just as there was 5 major outpourings in the book of Acts, that our youth ministry will be marked by 5 major outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And these outpourings will mark and elevate our youth ministry into a place of influence. And it will be a supernatural influence in schools, where teachers and students come up to us, and leaders come up to us, and athletes come up to us and give us a platform in schools, where he gives us a platform to preach the gospel, where counseling isn't working, but they haven't tried the power of the God. The Lord said he's elevating us in that area. He's also elevating us and calling us to spiritual growth, that he's calling us to more prayer. He's calling us to more fasting. But he also says in that time that he's going to give us the desires of our hearts, the thing that we've longed for and the things that we've asked for as a youth ministry. God is doing it, but we must level up in prayer. We must level up in spiritual warfare. We must level up in taking the land. Just as I spoke that word in the summer, the Lord says we must take the land. He didn't say go ask for the land. He didn't say go politely walk in. He said go take. We must be authoritative in this season of taking the land, the Lord says. Another thing is, the Lord says, is we must meditate and we must pray on the promises of God. When we take the land, when we preach the gospel, we must take the land. God's calling us to take the land. He's calling us, and this will be a season of equipping, just as this says Joshua was going into a new season. The Lord is transitioning us as a youth ministry. And when Joshua, I believe that when Joshua had the leadership transition to him, that there was a transference almost of anointing, of the power of God then residing on him, then being him being the person that God spoke with him. And I believe that God is going to do that with this team. So why don't you reach your hands out? If you're a youth, why don't you just stand up? If you're anyone from the ages of 12 to 15 or 12 to 18, sorry. Why don't you just stand up? Come on, I believe God is doing something in this place. Father God, I thank you that just as you commissioned us to go and take the land, as you commissioned us to go out and preach the gospel, God, I thank you that we will accept the challenge, that we will accept the thing. If you're a youth, why don't you come to the front? Come to the front.
Come line up all the way across the front. This is the future of the church.
Come on, Come on, why don't you reach your hands towards this generation? I believe that just as their Joshua was raised up and to take the land, that this is the Joshua generation. I believe that this is a generation that's going to go into schools, that's going to go into the broken places and preach the gospel, that's going to go set their friends free, that's going to go set the drug addicts free. So come on, lift your hands, students. I'm asking all of the adults, would you just stand up and reach your hands towards them today? Come on, we need to be equipped. It's time to rise up. It's time to take a stand. Father God, we thank you for this generation. We thank you for the future leaders, God of the church, the future pastors. We thank you that you are doing something new in this generation. God, that the things that have affected us in the past are no longer affecting us. God, the sins, the bondage, the things that have tried to hold us back, we're shaking off the old mantle, God, because you've called us for something new. We thank you, God, that we are stepping in to this new season of growth, that we are stepping into what you have for us, that this is a moment where everything changes, that this is a moment where lives are healed, where people's lives are turned around. We thank you, God, that you're commissioning every single one of these students in this team, and we thank you, God. We glorify you that we will see signs, wonders, and miracles even this year. In Jesus' name.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.